Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my awesome co-host, Michael Canejas, who is a self-made millionaire by the time he was 29. Our topic today is what separates successful people, what separates successful people from people who chase success. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio and Rewrite Your Story, host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, to go rewritestory.com for a very special gift we are giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome my good friend Michael. Michael, welcome.
Hey, Al. How's it going?
Good. How about yourself? Where you at? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I'm actually back home, which is nice. As you know, I live in downtown Los Angeles. But I was in Colombia over the weekend doing a conference out there and teaching people about entrepreneurship. And on Monday, this week coming up, I'll be going to Europe for a month just to hang out, see some new countries, spend time with some friends. And that's it right now. That's all I got going on.
So what were you doing in Colombia? What kind of conference?
So in Colombia, I got invited out to be a keynote speaker out there for USANA. And basically what I did was I came out to just do a training on how to run a successful business. Some of the people that were there have already been with USANA for about 6 months, and they're having some success. And really, I think that once you start having a little bit of success, sometimes you can get a little worried. You don't know what to do with it. You don't know if you can handle it. So just getting training and mentorship and walking people through the process of, you know, handling success. Because some people are afraid of failure, right? But believe it or not, people are just afraid of success as they are of failure. They just don't know if they can handle it. So I'm just there to kind of help them out, give them some guidance, and help them avoid some of the pitfalls of running a business.
Awesome, man. And congratulations. So that goes back to our topic. What separates successful people from people who chase success? From your perspective,
right,
what is the difference?
I think when you look at people who are really successful on this earth, and I'm not going to be the first one to say it, it's usually people that are adding value to other people. You know, it's never really about making money as much as it is about making a difference in the world somehow. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are people who go out there and, you know, they make a lot of money not really thinking about how they're adding value. But usually there, I feel that it's not long-term. You know, whenever you see like a long-term business, right, people that have been in business for 10, 15, 20 years, it's usually people that have the public's best interest in mind. So I think that's one of the big things is just like, how do you add value, right? You don't get paid based on anything more than that. The more value you add to people, I think the more you make.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Michael. So I know with my successes that I've had, it all was because what I've been able to do for others or bringing value to added value to this world or to life, and I know I've experienced my greatest successes, you know, including my film Beyond Hope. It was like I was quote unquote rewarded for everything that I had done or I was doing at the time. So what triggered for you the new perspective, or did you always have this perspective that bringing added value would support you to be successful?
No, I think I didn't have that perspective growing up. You know, I think that growing up I had the perspective that most people have, which is you go to work and you get paid for that hour of work. You get an education. You get paid based on your education, not so much you get paid based on how much value you bring. And sometimes I think people they correlate education to wealth. Like the smarter you are, the more you're going to make, right? But I know plenty of people who are geniuses and they're not earning that much because it's not based on how smart you are, as much as, like I said, on how much value you're bringing to people. So you have to put all of that knowledge and all of that information to work into helping people some way. But also I want to make sure I make a point here because I'm sure people will say like, well, yeah, I feel like I add value to the world and, you know, I'm not there yet, right? I'm not making those big checks, right? Or I don't have that wealth yet. I think it comes down to a lot of other things too. One of the things is just identifying trends, right? So a lot of people want to add value and that's great. But you also have to look at trends too. And if you're ahead of trends, that's going to put you in a good position to create wealth. And if you're not ahead of trends, it's a little challenging. Like, let's say, for example, if you're the best vinyl record producer in the world, right? Like, even if you feel that that's the thing to do for you, it's a dying industry, right? People are not buying vinyl records as they were once upon a time. So you might think you're adding value by selling vinyl records, but that's just not the trend that's clicking right now, or that's just not something that's happening. So it's not just you thinking that you're adding value, but really, like, are you adding value to the world and in the world that we're living in today? Because things change, right? They say that there's a book by Michael McQueen called Winning the Battle of Relevance, and he says shift happens. So shift is happening all the time. And maybe you were adding value at one point with your craft, but maybe that value is no longer a value to people. So you have to kind of make sure that you're fulfilling those trends and the needs and desires of people, and that you're being relevant in the world.
You know, Michael, that's a pretty profound insight, because I know, bringing value to this world or to life or to other people's lives is relevant and important. But that insight you just shared in regards to staying ahead of a trend or catching on in a trend, that's a valuable insight. So for you, how does a person know what a trend is? How does a person stay ahead of the game? If let's say they do feel and know that they're bringing value, like you said, but how do they stay ahead of the trend so that they become relevant or current?
Right. Well, I would probably say four principles that you want to look at if you're trying to, once again, create wealth and not really just chase it down, right? But really, like, put yourself in a good position first, because I think our topic today is, like, not really chasing success, but attracting success, right? But putting yourself in the good position first, so let's say, for example, like, if you want to go to the gym, yeah, you have to put in work and, you have to attract a healthy lifestyle. But at the same time, you want to put yourself in a position that's going to give you the best chance to succeed, right? Like, you want to make sure you have a gym membership. You want to make sure you have a personal trainer. You want to make sure, you have, like, you're doing your meal preparations. Like, there's certain things that you can do that are going to put you in a better position. So if you want to talk about how to identify a trend or what to look at, I would say four key points. Okay, number one is look for a huge expanding market. Like, anything that's huge and expanding, like an expanding market, not a dying industry. So let me give you guys a bunch of examples for that. So first of all, just take a look at what creates trends and what are some big markets or some big expanding markets right now. Obviously, health has always been something important, but just take a look at the world around you right now, right? Health is an expanding market, right? We see more gyms opening up. We see people becoming vegans. We see healthier menus. We see people doing, like, yoga and Pilates and all these types of, like, fitness classes. We've seen companies like ClassPass jump on board and really just supply the needs of people that want to go to the gym. We've seen a lot of different fitness competitors come up in the last few years, right? Fitness competitions have just gone crazy. So it's just like, if you take a look at the world around you, you can see that it's a huge expanding market. It's like no mystery, right? I think people think, like, okay, well, how do I identify what's a huge expanding market? Just look around. Everybody's moving on to this health craze. So that is one of the biggest expanding markets that I can see. Also, social media, right? Social media applications, like, those have really taken off in the past few years. That's why you see companies like Snapchat getting offered $3 billion in training accounts, because it's just such a huge, huge expanding market, right? Social circles. So I think that's one key point, right? So number one is a huge expanding market. Number two is a unique and consumable product. So you have to be unique in some ways, because I think a lot of people, they try to compare which products or which services are better. I mean, we always hear that word, right? Like, oh, this phone is better than this phone. The Apple is better than the Samsung, or Snapchat is better than Facebook or whatever, Like, we hear all these debates and arguments, and I think that people who are not really going to be successful are going to focus on better, right? And they're always going to focus on the details, like, this is better, that is better. But if you're really going to be successful, you have to focus on how you're different not so much on how you're better, because better is very subjective, right? Like, what's better for you, Al, may not be better for me, right? Or you might think the Apple phone is better, and I might think the Samsung phone is better, right? But the thing is, how are you different? Okay, how are you unique? Like, being unique, I think, is important. And I think that that's really where you're going to win the battle, by talking about how you're different. And then being consumable, too. See, a lot of services out there are not really consumable, right? Or even products are not consumable. And what I mean by that is, if you ever get a product out there, let's say it's like a knife, for example. If you were to sell a knife, how soon before you sell that next knife, right? Or if you sell a property, let's say you sell a house, how soon before you sell that next house? So I think it's important to keep those things in mind, you know, because if it's consumable, then you get paid reoccurring on that same person. That's why we see companies like gyms that are getting paid on the same person day in and day out, because they're renewing their services every single month. So that's why those things are catching fire. Or even products and things like that, things that people buy on a daily basis or on a monthly basis, whatever the case may be. So being unique and being consumable. The third point is making sure that your timing is there, of course, right? You want to make sure that you're coming in at the right time. Is it at the beginning of this trend? Is it towards the tail end of this trend? So kind of taking a look at that. And then the last thing is making sure that you can generate some type of leverage with what you're doing. So leverage is key, because a lot of people don't have leverage. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. Okay, nothing wrong with being a personal trainer. I think personal trainers are hard workers. I have a lot of respect for them. But the thing is that if you're not working, you're not getting paid, right? If you're training people, you're earning. And if you're not training people, you're not earning. So you want to make sure that you can gain leverage somehow. So the people that are really capitalizing on these trends are people that are able to gain leverage by employing other people. So if you're a gym owner, you can actually hire other personal trainers, right, and get them to work. And you pay them, and obviously you gain a percentage of what they earn, of what they make. But if you're just a trainer and it's just you, that's being self-employed. And being self-employed is really, really hard to be successful, because you're basically tied down based on time. So time equals money. And that's true for anybody who has a job and self-employed. But if you're a business owner, time doesn't equal money. Production equals money. And you can be really productive in your life if you're good at gaining leverage by employing other people. So I think that's key. So those are the four things. So timing, unique consumable product, right? Leverage, and of course, looking at the trends, the huge expanding markets.
Phenomenal insights, Michael, and thank you for sharing. So let's tap into you personally. So obviously at 29 years old, you were successful, or are successful now. What wave did you ride? What brought you to become very successful?
Well, so based on those four things, you know, what I look at for me is, you know, I studied math and econ in college. So that was kind of like my passion, right? I thought, like, okay, I'm going to be a school teacher. This is it. And I think a lot of times we get stuck based on what we studied, and we think like, well, I studied this and I'm an expert in this, so therefore I have to do this. So people are kind of like, just they're tied down to whatever they studied in college or whatever they think that they're good at. And if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to learn new things. You're going to have to adapt to what's happening in the world. You can't just be set in your ways and say, well, this is the way I've always done things, so if it doesn't fit me right now, I'm not going to do it. So I think that's one of the biggest tips I can give you, is you can't be one of those people that says, this is me and that's it. Like, you have to be adaptable. So for me, when I first started looking at becoming successful, I was told that you have to be social and you have to be good at making connections, that the people that you spend your time with, that's really going to determine how successful you're going to be, right? Because you have to build your network. I've heard this too. Your network equals your net worth. So my network at the time wasn't really strong. You know, I had a lot of buddies from college, people in transition, you know, things like that. And I wasn't really good at stepping outside of that comfort zone and rubbing elbows with other people. I was that guy that just has, like, loyal friends for years. And I still do, you know, but, like, I'm talking about, like, the people that I hung out with were the same people that I was hanging out with since, like, third grade. in elementary school. So, but for me, I was like, I don't want to go out there and start making new friends. Like, I already have great friends. But you're going to have to start making new contacts. You're going to have to really expand your network. So I think that getting outside of your comfort zone, that's one thing. Number two is I got involved into the health industry. Now, health has nothing to do with what I studied in college. So do you see the dilemma here, right? I could have just said, well, I don't know anything about health. Another thing was I didn't even take care of my health so much when I became an entrepreneur. I wasn't eating well. I wasn't drinking plenty of water. I wasn't exercising. Like I was, you know, a good lunch back in high school was like Flaming Hot Cheetos and a Coca-Cola. So it's not like I was like this big health guru back in high school or in college. So do you see the challenge there, Al? Is the challenge is health is not one of my expertise. But see, you can't just get stuck on what you know. You can't get stuck just on what you're good at. You have to learn new things. And when I saw health and the trend that was developing, that's when I said, okay, I have to learn health. And it's going to take me a couple of years to learn health. I'm going to have to learn the benefits of health and how to market this concept to people. But, I mean, it was worth it. I had to put some time. I had to go start learning new skills and then learning how to communicate with people. That was a huge thing too.
How did you, and I know I went through this, you know, several years ago, but how did you, for lack of better words, you know, because how we're raised and how we're programmed and institutionalized and how we accept things, you know, we become set in our ways. We become, this is the way it's got to be. This is what I was shown. How do you switch that? How do you get out of that comfort zone and say, you know what, this isn't working. I've got to try something new.
That's a great question. And I don't think there's an easy way to do that. But for me, this is the thing. I think it's being honest with yourself. I think that's the first thing, right? Like, it's kind of like when, you know, my father growing up, not to get too personal, but he was an alcoholic growing up. And he's been sober now for 25 years. He's made a full recovery. But I remember when he was going through that, one of the first things they say is you have to acknowledge that you have a drinking problem if you ever want to change it, right? So I thought that was interesting because I thought, hey, it kind of works the same way in business, right? Like you have to acknowledge that you have a money problem if you ever want to change it. Like you have to acknowledge that you have a success philosophy problem if you ever want to change it. So I think you have to acknowledge something before you can ever change. So like, let's say for example, if you want to make a change in your business life or whatever the case may be, you have to ask yourself, do I have everything that I want? You know, because I hear a lot of people say like, I have my dream job, right? I mean, we hear that all the time. And I think, yeah, that's your dream job, but do you have your dream lifestyle? And if the answer is no, then why are you settling? You want to make sure you can have it all, right? This is a world where you can make things happen. We live in a country you can make things happen. There are people that are already having their dream job along with their dream lifestyle. So it's like if you're settling at some point, you have to ask yourself, like, do I have everything that I want? And if the answer is no, then the next question is, why don't I have everything that I want? And the answer for that is very simple. Because if you could have everything that you wanted, being exactly the way you are, then you should already have it, right? So just ask yourself that question. If I could have everything that I wanted, being exactly the way I was, then why don't I already have it? And the answer to that is simple. Because I can't get what I want being exactly the way that I am. I have to grow. I have to adapt, right? That's the answer. So that's a part of my book. That's how I open up my book is, that was a question that was asked for me. Why don't you have everything that you want? And I said, I don't know. I blamed the government. I blamed a lot of other people. I blamed my parents. But the reality is that it was me. And I think that once I became honest with that, that's where the change really begins. To say, I can do more. I can make changes. I can grow.
For the audience that's listening right now, Michael, what would you suggest they can start doing today to start changing their lives?
I think just really designing your life, like what is it that you want and being honest with yourself. You know, not so much what you think you can get, right? But what is it that you really, really want? I think that's it starts there. It starts with the desire. And then the second thing is really thinking like, do I have anybody that I'm learning from that's going to get me there? You know, we talked about this in the first call, you know, having mentors, having role models. You know, I think that's so key, you know, having partners, you know, like just thinking about it from that perspective. So if you're really wanting to make some changes and really get things going, number one is I would start making a list of goals. What is it that you want? Like, what are you really after? Not what you think you can get. Like, give me like the ideal life. Like for me, Al, my ideal life, this is honest, I don't think I was really shooting for like billions of dollars and being the wealthiest person on earth. Like that wasn't really like my goal. Like that's not what was speaking to me. What was speaking to me was number one was I didn't want money to be a problem in my life. Like I didn't want to live in debt. I didn't want to have money problems because for me, money is a unit of choices, right? Like the more money you have, the more choices you have. That's all it is to me. So I wanted to have the choice to live in a crime-less neighborhood or a crime-filled neighborhood. Like let that be a choice. Like don't make it be something where I'm basically like having to choose based on my finances. I want to be able to choose whatever it is that I want to choose. So number one was not really having money as a problem. But number two is not having time be a problem either. Because I've met a lot of people who make, you know, multiple six figures and seven figures, but they're working 70, 80 hours a week. So if that's the case, then that price is too big for me, Al. I'm not willing to pay that price for success. Like if I have to give up all my time and basically be working day in and day out, I don't know if I'm willing to pay that price for success. So I wanted to have time freedom as well. That's why I talked about leverage. That's why I talked about reoccurring sales. Like anything that you do, make sure it's consumable so that you can eventually gain leverage and you don't have to keep working day in and day out to sustain something. So I think that was my ideal lifestyle, having time freedom and having financial freedom. And of course, health, right? Like health is, it's got to go before those other two, but just being healthy, like not having any health challenges. And of course that comes with, education and health and the importance of drinking water and sleeping and all of that other stuff, which maybe we'll talk about another time.
I know we mentioned this, or you mentioned it in the earlier show. What's the name of your book and when is it coming out?
So right now we have a target for January 2017, and the title of the book is My Ego is Not My Amigo.
Phenomenal. And you mentioned earlier that you started getting involved in the health industry. We care to elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, so when you're jumping into an industry, see, you have to understand that running a business, it's great. It sounds, you know, fine and dandy, but there's a lot of challenges that come also with the business. So you have some choices, and especially now in the world, like there's a lot of affiliate marketing. Okay, like I'll give you guys an example. Like I'm a Yelper, so I don't know if anybody here knows what that is, but Yelp is, you know, it's an app. It's kind of popular. Are you on Yelp, Al?
No,
like,
I'm
you
not.
Have you ever used the application?
No, I haven't. I have never used it.
Okay, cool. I don't know if any of your audience members know what that is. But anyways, Yelp is like a social network where you can rate restaurants and you can search for restaurants and see which ones are good in your area. Let's say you're not from a certain area, then you don't really know what's good. And if you don't know anyone in that area, then how do you know where to go have a cup of coffee or where to have dinner, things like that, right? So people start reviewing these restaurants and they start posting pictures and reviews, comments, tips, all that stuff. Long story short is Yelp has millions and millions and millions of users. And the point is that people use it as a search engine to find like good restaurants and coffee shops and bars and things to do in their area. But the reason I bring this up, Al, is because it's all free. Like nobody is getting paid to post these things. And I'm a Yelp elite, which basically means that, you know, my credibility is higher on Yelp or whatever, right? But I'm a Yelp elite member and I don't get paid to do that. But I'll write reviews for restaurants that I go to, for coffee shops that I go to. Like, I'll write reviews. So why do I talk about this? What does this have to do with my journey in health? Is you can partner with someone who's looking to get their product or service out there, and you can get paid to partner with someone. So Yelp is not going to pay me, okay? But there are companies out there that make just about anything, right? Like there's small companies out there right now that are making bathing suits, and their goal is to sell more bathing suits. And if that's something that you're interested in, and you say, hey, look, I'm really interested in bathing suits, and I wanna sell them, but I don't have the time or the money right now to make them, then find somebody who makes bathing suits that sees the vision the same way you see it, partner with them, and maybe you can work out a deal for all the bathing suits that you sell or the business that you bring into them. You get a cut for that. Okay, see, that's called affiliate marketing. Okay, and a lot of people don't understand that that's probably the easiest way to become an entrepreneur or a self-employed person or a business owner, whatever you want to call it. It's the easiest way to get in business without having to start it on your own. So there's plenty of people out there, plenty, plenty, but you have to go out there and network. You have to make friends. Now, of course, Al, you know that there's direct selling companies out there. There's network marketing companies out there. There's things like that where, yeah, they're looking to sign people up. They're looking to recruit people on board and get those people to promote and consume their products. Some people have certain views about that, but in a nutshell, that's really what it is. They manufacture, they ship, and they bill. And what they want is more people buying their stuff, just like every business on earth wants more people buying their stuff, right? What does Apple computers want? They want more people buying their Macs and their iPhones and their iPads, right? What does Bose headphones or Bose audio want? More people using their headphones, more people using their speakers. So the only problem is that you can't go to Bose and say, hey, I want to work for Bose, and every set of headphones I sell, I want 20% of that. I don't know if it works like that. But there's a lot of up-and-coming businesses that maybe you can work a deal like that and say, hey, you know, I have a huge following, and I'd love to partner with you, and if I bring business in, I'd love to get a cut for that. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not, the conversation's not going to be that easy, Al. Right? I'm sure people know that on the call. But you kind of catch my drift, right? The idea is
right. You
don't have to start it on your own. I think everybody gets caught up on, I want to start a business. And they think they have to go rent the building. They think they have to go hire the employees. They think they have to go manufacture the product in order to start. And I'm telling you right now, if that's what you're thinking on the call right now, like, you're so far off. You don't need to do all of that stuff to start. You can find people who have already taken the steps necessary to get it off the ground and go make friends with those people, go partner with those people, and help their idea come to life even further. And that's what I'm suggesting. See, that's why I said your network equals your net worth. If you don't know anyone, though, like, let's say you have no clue, you don't know a single person who owns a business of any kind, well, I still think at that point, like, you look at network marketing. I mean, network marketing, like I said, they're looking for people. They're out there actively looking for people every single day to partner with their business. So it's not like you can't find it, right? Like, it's out there, man. There's about 20 million people in the United States alone that do network marketing, which is up about 4% from last year. Okay, so you got to understand that network marketing is a growing industry, and it's just adding hundreds of thousands. I did the math, Al. About 5,000 people every day are joining network marketing. 5,000 in the United States.
Phenomenal
so
stuff,
it's
Michael.
Not like people can.
Go ahead.
So I said it's not like. It's not like people can't find something to do. The question is, are you willing to look at it through a unique perspective and say, okay, I see what's going on here? And number two is, are you willing to give it some work, right? Is it adding value in the area that you want? There's different types of companies and products out there. Like, let's say health is not your fancy, right? Let's say, like, oh, I don't really like health. Like, health is not really where I want to add value. Maybe you want to add value in technology, or you want to add value in different ways. Well, then find a company that does that. But there's plenty of companies out there that manufacture and make just about anything. And I'm sure you can find them and partner with them.
Michael, we're out of time now, but great insights, and thank you for sharing. And for the audience, have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. Contact me at al.dealsforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join Michael and I. And as you heard him, phenomenal wisdom that he's sharing. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, and future is for our best and highest good. wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Michael, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
Always a pleasure, Al. Thank you.